Perhaps the most surprising statistic from the Philadelphia 76ers 1972-73 season comes from one six-day stretch in February during which the Sixers won three times, because over the months before that stretch and the months that followed, Philadelphia won only six games. Those Sixers weren't bad. They were awful, which accounts for the title of Charlie Rosen's newest book, Perfectly Awful. Charlie, welcome back to Only a Game.
Well, thank you for having me.
You write that by November 1st, after the Sixers had begun the season 0-10, the team was, quote, gripped with an abiding sense of gloom. Did everybody involved with that team understand that early just how awful the season was going to be?
They understood that the first time they met their coach, Roy Rubin, before practice started in training camp, where he went through a whole spiel about what a disciplinarian he was, and then he said, and no smoking in the locker room, no exceptions. And one of the players, Freddie Carter, who was a veteran, raised his hand and said, Coach, I got to smoke. It's the only way I can calm down. I have to smoke during halftime. And Rubin said, well, okay, you can smoke and nobody else. And the guys looked at each other and said, uh-oh, this is going to be a long season.
Roy Rubin, as you mentioned, the head coach, was known throughout the basketball world, I guess, as poor Roy Rubin. Was he a victim in this dark comedy or one of its architects, ultimately?
He was definitely not a victim. He was a very good high school coach in the Bronx in New York and a good coach at LIU in Brooklyn. But the pros, he didn't know how to deal with players. He'd come into the locker room at halftime, where there's like a 15-minute intermission, and say, okay, keep hustling, and then turn to his assistant coach, Paul Lizzo, and say, how much time do we have left? He used to yell at players for missing a shot. He said, why did you take that shot? I was open, but you missed it. Why did you take it? It was just absurd. He had no business coaching at that level.
Because it is perhaps illustrative of the weirdness of the 72-73 season in Philadelphia, I want you to tell the story of the night Coach Rubin tried to substitute John Q. Trapp out of a game and then very quickly changed his mind.
Well, John Q. was a strange character. He was a scary guy. One of the writers said he had won a bronze medal in Vietnam, and he was more afraid of Trapp than he was when he was in Vietnam. So Trapp is from Detroit, and they're playing in Detroit, and all his boys are there sitting behind the bench. During a timeout, Rubin says, okay, have a seat. Dave Sorensen, you go in for Trapp. And Trapp says, no. And Rubin says, no, what do you mean? So Trapp turns around, looks behind him. One of his guys stands up, opens up his coat, and shows a gun. And Rubin says, oh, okay, stay in the game.
Eventually, and unsurprisingly, Roy Rubin was fired. At the end of January, Kevin Lockery became the player coach, and he said, if we're going to lose, I'd rather lose with good guys. What bad guys got cut, and did any of their good guy replacements help very much?
Well, he was there on the team bus heading to the airport, and he told the team that he had just cut John Trapp, and they all applauded. So that was one bad guy he got rid of. Yeah, they got Tom Van Arsdale in a trade who really, really helped them. But I think the funniest line was when Lockery had his press conference in Chicago at the All-Star game taking over the team. They were 4-47. And some reporter asked him, what will it take for your team to make the playoffs? And Lockery said, three airplane crashes.
It's not funny, but it's funny, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I think it's worth mentioning that Roy Rubin himself did find work at which he was of more use than he had been in Philadelphia, or at least that's the way he saw it, right?
Yeah, he was down in Miami. He moved down to Miami, and he was counseling at-risk kids and working in community centers, which he said that did much more good than coaching the Sixers. If he would have just gone around picking garbage off the street, that would have done much more good than he did coaching the Sixers.
Charlie, in the epilogue to Perfectly Awful, you suggest that the 2011-2012 Charlotte Bobcats, who went an imposing 7-59 in a shortened season, might have been a worse team than the 76ers of 72-73. What compelled you to dig up something halfway positive to say about that Philadelphia team?
Well, there are a lot of positive things to say about them. They stuck together. They really didn't point fingers at each other. And they did play hard. They didn't really tank. I mean, in those days, the two teams with the worst records would have a coin flip to determine who got the number one pick. So it wasn't automatic that they would get the first pick. The problem is they couldn't make any stops in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. So they would play close and play close, and it's like a mental thing. It's like, okay, what's going to happen now? How are we going to screw up? Who's going to make the mistake that costs us the game? And when you think like that, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
The current Philadelphia team, I hate to say it, and maybe it's too early to say it, but they seem to be channeling the 72-73 Sixers. They, too, opened the season 0-11. Do you think whatever old-timers remain are rooting for this current team to be better, or I should say worse, than they were 41 years ago?
You know, strangely, most of the guys I spoke to, and Roy Rubin had said this before he passed away about a year and a half ago, that they didn't want their record to be broken. They wanted to be the worst team of all time. It was something that defined them, that made people talk about them, as I'm sure is happening in Philadelphia now. I'm sure they're talking about that team.
Charlie Rosen is the author of more than a dozen sports books, the most recent of which is Perfectly Awful, The Philadelphia 76ers Horrendous and Hilarious 1972-1973 Season. Charlie, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill.
To read a perfectly wonderful excerpt from Perfectly Awful and my perfectly adequate review of Perfectly Awful, please check them out at onlyagame.org.